Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 26th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg.
How's it going, bud?
Oh, man, you know, moment by moment, day by day, step by step.
Another day in paradise, huh?
Yeah, well, it just depends on what I'm stepping in, if it's paradise or not. Oh, boy. Are you ready for, relationship quote?
Uh-oh.
Robert Quillen. A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers.
This is true.
I suppose that would be probably work for a business relationship also, huh?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, my. What has this winter taught you?
Oh, that we are underfunded in road maintenance, and you can see where, well, especially with a brutal winter like this, that it's pay me now or pay me later for sure. And we are definitely going to be paying later.
It is interesting for me. I don't know who I was talking with, but you know, we've had so much fixation with last chance. We forget 299. Whoops. Okay. We forget 199. They're having issues. 36. We've got two or three active areas in addition to the skinny. Okay. And then south of Benbow. Whoosh.
Going 101.
It's like, you know, this
Highway
is,
1.
Well, yeah, I don't take that one.
Well, if you don't take it, then it doesn't matter.
It's kind of off my radar screen. But yeah, and one also. This is kind of like 64 without the floods.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had certainly the precipitation, but not the concentrated periods. But we're as isolated now as what a lot of the communities were then.
Yeah, I wrote on Facebook the other day that, you know, everybody talks about us being behind their redwood curtain, but it feels a lot more like mud and rock instead of redwood.
Yeah.
Every other day it seems like there's something cut off. And, you know, I had an email this morning from Jill Duffy, and she from Humboldt Waste Management. And one of the things you don't think about is the Willits, Willits Waste Solutions or whatever they are that truck the garbage out of Humboldt County?
The haulers, yeah.
They go 101. Well, when they don't go 101 anymore, it changes the whole dynamics of how they, you know, their cost structure and everything. So having them
store. Well, how do they get here then?
They have to go around. And then
where? 199?
Or 299 to I-5
during the break,
and then over, okay. and then I saw that on the email that we're contracting with Bettendorf to go to a different landfill site also, because I think they have 4 or 5 days or something that they can start they can store.
Well, that's the backup.
Yeah, waste in Eureka, and then after that it's.
Oops.
Well, it just becomes a health hazard after that, you know, that needs to get out of here somewhere. So. Being blocked off, it's, you know, up and down the line of not, you know, things that I didn't even think about before, you know, until I saw that, I didn't even think about what happens to the waste. And, you know, it's, you think about the tourism and that kind of stuff right off the top of your head. And
or grocery shelves being empty.
It's just, everything gets more expensive if you have to go a different route.
I guess this is probably a really strong argument for the East-West Rail, huh?
Sure.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Ryan.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. So understanding the condition and the recognition of our realities here, whether this is a wet or not, time will tell. Are there areas in the county road structure that are just as isolated, challenged, impacted as what we're seeing on the U.S. highways?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in Supervisor Bones' district just not too long ago, they had a community that the roads slid out, and then the backup road also slid out. And he was working on getting an agreement with Bureau of Land Management to the federal government to go through their property to get people into town because they were cut off from everything. There was no way in or out.
There's real access to anything.
No access in or out. And so that's, you know, pretty serious. And I think he said there was 60 people or so that were on the other side of that. And then I've got, you know, culverts that have failed in Trinidad, for instance, on Stagecoach, that road's been blocked off. You know, there's other ways in and out, but that one's been, you know, just closed for a while. And, you know, we've got requests in for to fund those, you know, and with those emergency requests, you get 75% paid by the federal government. And you still have to come up with the 25%.
The county didn't get one of the letters last week, did they?
One of what letters?
From the administration about the sanctuary stuff?
No.
Don't take that vote for a while, huh?
Yeah. Might want to hold off on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it'll be interesting if, you know, I saw that the state of California is looking at doing a statewide one. And what does that just automatically put us in that boat?
State Corrections got one. California State Corrections was one that got the letter.
But I wonder what is going to happen to counties or cities that, you know, because if the state does it, does everybody in the state fall under that? That'll be interesting because I haven't heard what's going to happen with that.
I would think that might be worthy of a call to the congressman before things kind of go down that trail a little bit, just to have an idea.
It's true. This is true.
Of course, he might be a little busy this week.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we hope that there's a lot going on. So contingency funds are something that we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That the county has some, not that much, but has some.
It's been growing. You know, our goal is $10 million, and you know we need another six, seven, somewhere in there.
So, with the matching funds you alluded to for FEMA or for any of the other stuff, is that what the contingency funds are set aside to be used for?
Yeah, that's, you know, so we've got two different things, too. We've got our contingency, and then we've got our savings, right? We've been putting money away, too, for...
I thought that was for ADA.
I would probably get all eaten up by that, but no, we're going to... The ADA thing is becoming quite the monster that it could be a lot of money that, you know, millions and millions of dollars that the federal government is forcing us to do these ADA improvements. It's kind of a black hole right now. We don't really know exactly what that's going to entail, but...
Yeah, I thought that was kind of like, yeah, it's there. We just don't know how big the monster is.
Yeah. So we're still figuring that out. And, you know, I think we do a pretty good job with ADA as it is now. And it's disappointing that the federal government would come in and force a county to spend every bit of money they have on all these improvements that, you know, and the public isn't like clamoring. You know, we work closely with like Charlie Bean and, you know, try and be really reasonable about things. And we've been making a big effort too recently, you know, in the last few years.
The definition is getting, broadened, I guess, is the term.
Yeah, I don't...
It's not ramps, it's not the physical stuff, it's now if anybody has any kind of disability that I guess is obviously federally recognized, mm-hmm. That allowances have to occur, I mean, to areas that a lot of folks are kind of surprised that even qualifies.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, most of it too is, you know, a lot of counties and cities have older buildings, and you just can't afford to replace them all. And I mean, we could be talking, you know, $100 million if $50 million somewhere. You know, it's
Your marijuana money.
Well, it's
boom.
No, I mean that's $3 million, so it's not even close.
Okay, well, fine. One ramp at a time.
But I just can't believe the federal government would come in and just crush a county like that or a city. You know, who's next? You know, I haven't heard of too many other counties that have gone through this. But we ended up on their radar.
Have they more aggressive programs?
I don't know how this even... I mean, I didn't even know about this because this happened before I got into office of when the previous board had signed a declaration with them. And then it was before the big crash in 08. And then nothing kind of happened after that because everyone was just trying to survive. Basically, we're doing big budget cuts and, you know, and then since nothing happened, the feds came back, the Department of Justice came back and said, okay, you haven't done anything. Now we're going to put the hammer down. And so, you know, we've signed a new consent decree with them to say we are going to take care of this, but
10% a year, 5% a year.
We don't know what those numbers are yet and how quickly we can even deal with it, but we'll see what happens. It's, you know, we'll deal with it somehow, but it's definitely a big unknown, especially for the budget.
It's an unknown because there's not a price tag on it, or unknown because you don't know the magnitude of what they're talking about?
Well, we know kind of what they're talking about, but what we have to do is see what we've already done. We've got, you know, new buildings coming in, the public defender's building, the juvenile hall, you know, we've done a lot of projects that we just need to keep, you know, we got to tally all this up and say, okay, now what's left? How much is that?
Resuscitation. And then decision.
Yep.
It's 8.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Ryan, with some of the infrastructure challenges that are out there, last summer we had the fiber redundancy, quote unquote, if you signed up for the right plan and you were the right kind of business. We've got barging. We've got the specter of rail. Whether it's in the rear view or in the windshield, we're not sure yet what direction 100% on that one, and the airport. With all of that infrastructure, what level of confidence do you have in the viability for the next 20 years of any of those areas? Would any of them grade more than a 5 on a 10 scale?
So let's just, for roads, for instance, you know, the state and feds have been really looking hard at this, and I think they, you know, this is an America problem of aging infrastructure, and, you know, you've heard the Trump administration talking about $1 trillion, and that would definitely come to Humboldt County in some form.
Like Ike. Let's bring him back.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll see what happens with that. The Brown administration has a proposal out that seems to be gaining steam of raising the gas tax and raising the registration fees, which would be about $7 million for the county. And then, you know, measures.
How is that not a tax that has to be voted on?
I don't know.
Because the county, you know, shot that down pretty solidly in the fall, and here it comes, you know, resurrection. It's a fee instead of a tax or something?
Apparently.
Semantics?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're getting around that. But it's definitely a big increase. I know that like hybrid vehicles and all electric vehicles would have like a $100 fee on them. So that would help. You know, we'd have $7 million extra, not extra, but we'd have $7 million more than we have now. And then if we need about just roughly about $10 million a year in the road maintenance fund to really start to get caught up and do a good job of maintenance on our streets. And so the other $3 million would, you know, hopefully come from, you know, the Measure S, the cannabis tax, or the Measure Z, you know, in some form.
What's the budget you guys give them now?
It went down quite a bit. I think it's somewhere around 5 right now. That's off the top of my
5
head.
5 plus or 10 plus the 5 that's already there?
Well, the
gap is 10?
Well, they get some money now, and so it would. So I guess it wouldn't be, the $7 million wouldn't be all new. It'd be additional. So hopefully, I think it's, I'd have to get back to you with the numbers on exactly what they're getting in gas tax and registration right now. I saw the numbers, and the new money from the increase from both of those would be $7
million. So if, let's say, the roads, the state decides to do, and the feds decide to do, and the county decides to do, okay. What about the others? I mean, the fiber optics. Certainly trying to keep the businesses that are here is tough with the current condition.
Did you hear about the new project?
Which one?
The 299 project got funded.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, and then the other piece to that that's pretty cool is they're talking about a cable landing at Humboldt Bay. So across the ocean, the big cable landing. So that's moving forward also.
So it would pop out on the north spit?
I don't know exactly where it would be in the bay, but it's, you know, it's coming through there somewhere. And the project being funded for 299, you know, then it has a spur that goes out to Hoopaw Reservation. It stops right at the reservation, but that looks like it's all moving forward. And
don't say moving.
It is proceeding.
There we go. That? Okay.
So that's going to be, you know, a huge deal for all the businesses along 299 and Willow Creek, especially, you know, to have a high-speed internet through
there.
Well,
here too, if the capacity is built up and it's not beholden to one or two providers, I mean, that would be hugely huge.
Competition brings price down.
Well, and increased, you know, capacity.
Reliability, you know, also.
I mean, you talk to people out of the area and they talk about what the speed is and they kind of start giggling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really tough to attract a business here, particularly in the tech arena, if you're dealing with, you know, the equivalent of the skinny part of the hourglass instead of the white part.
Yeah, well, the redundancy too of all of it is, you know, and having reliability and not them knowing it's not going to go down. You know, now with you referred to the AT&T issue of, you know, the right business had to be on there.
Well, let's just use the debacle word. It works.
Yeah. So they fixed that, though. AT&T did an investment into their infrastructure and it was software that they needed to be able to run the redundancy through the different lines over, you know, different companies.
Trust them more now than you did before?
They've done a really good job of communicating with us, and they've definitely put an increased effort into making sure that Humboldt knows what's going on, and we have a really good, you know, we've got all their cell phone numbers of the people who can make this stuff happen, and, you know, they've come to our board whenever we've asked them, and so they've done a really good job of letting us know how things are going to happen and when things are going to happen, and I am happy with them right now.
Good. So they're learning from PG&E. How not to do things. Imagine that 90,000 out. Bart going down last Friday.
Oh, I didn't know Bart went down last Friday.
Oh, yeah, a substation blew something or another. 90,000 customers
that couldn't ride the train?
Well, you could, but it's not going anywhere.
No.
You sit there, you know, watch mold grow. KINS. That's a Humboldt County reference. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as we start to dry out, the roads start to get looked at, things really start being paid attention to. All the various partners that are in the area for infrastructure, you mentioned AT&T before the break, Caltrans certainly is one of those. Do you feel that they have the wherewithal to be able to monitor and to see and to anticipate? And not being facetious, but a week ago, we came down from Brookings, and just north of Mill Creek, another culvert blew out. One way all day, cutting the road. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Okay, we got slides all over the place. We got probably the highest concentration of workers, short of bridge construction, in the entire state system, and half a mile away, the culvert is plugged and nobody knows about it and it blows. Okay. I can appreciate all the attention going in one direction, but you know, you want to make sure that the other side of the fort, that gate's closed while you're defending the front end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it really brought to mind, do we have enough people? Are there enough electronic equipment, monitoring gear, whatever is necessary to really know what's going on?
Yeah, I have no clue about Caltrans, let's say the county, with all the various things.
Yeah.
For the county, the answer is no. You know, that's, we have enough to put fires out, you know, potholes and small jobs. The rest we contract out. But, you know, short answer is we don't, you know. And
are there any plans down the road, a price tag, a guesstimate what it would really take?
I think we should have the conversation, you know, about what it would take to get up to that, and you know, even including conversation of, you know, maybe even asking for bids from companies to contract out potholes and culverts, and you know, and let our staff deal with the core, and then, you know, these other things that do take maintenance, and someone on the ground looking in there and seeing if the culvert needs to be, you know. The other thing is also the ditches. You know, if you don't keep the ditches clean,
that's what I was saying. The guys with the shovels and the brooms and the, you know, looking at the grates to make sure that it's, I mean, that I don't think takes 30 years experience that could be better allocated somewhere else, but their experience really could be put to
there could be companies out there too, though, that have expertise in this and the manpower that, you know, I think that discussion is coming, and we'll have to
across the board in all departments, or is that something that might be specific to just certain departments within the county?
It's probably certain departments within the county. I mean, we've been looking at other ways to do things for a while, and you know, every once in a while we come up with something that works, and most of the time it doesn't.
you know, only way you can get success is when you try, right?
Yeah. I mean, but our board has definitely been open to the idea of new ways of doing things, and one of our strategies has been, how do we combine, you know, and save money? So, you know, we've done that with.
It's kind of like some guys with brutal free throws. You know, they can try it, but they probably need to improve.
You can always improve.
Almost got him. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thanks for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.